Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Do you recommend your religion? The question may be insulting to some because they think everybody knows they recommend their religion. But I believe it is a fair and a timely question. Often people take too much for granted. They drift along with the crowds, they go the way of the trends, they're pulled along by the currents, rather than being sure where they stand and that their stand is for Christ. They assume they recommend their religion, and they assume it is deserving of recommendation. But it may not be the case. David said in Psalm 66 and verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Among other things, David is saying to his hearers and to his readers that he heartily recommends his religion to the world. He is saying, "Let me tell you of the faith I hold and how it benefits me." He was not just offering a testimonial, but a proclamation of what he believed and why he believed it. He recommended his religion. Now, a study of religions generally reveals some religions are very vain, they are shallow, they are empty, they are inadequate, because they are not from heaven. Many worship gods that they have made, rather than the God who made them. The Scriptures speak of vain worship and vain religion. And while we do not seek to offend by asking our question, did it ever occur to you the possibility that such might be a proper description of your religion? Is it not profitable to stop long enough to find out and to know? We may not always realize it, but each day we live, we are either recommending our religion or we are renouncing it as not being worthwhile or worth the effort it takes to follow it. We must do some self-examination alongside a serious comparison of our religion with what the Bible teaches. We shall ask the question, do you recommend your religion? And inquire in four different areas. Do you recommend it in the light of the Scriptures? Do you recommend it by the way that you live? Do you recommend it by the way you support it? Do you recommend it by the way it works for you and all those that follow it? Well, first of all, do you recommend your religion in the light of biblical teaching? Indeed, can you turn to the Scripture and find a recommendation of it? Can you prove your religion from the Bible? Does God approve your religion? 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you with reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." If someone came to you and requested, "Tell me about your faith and why you hold to it," what kind of response would you offer? Can we give an answer to those who have a right to inquire? Many would only give such answers as convenience, following the ways of their foreparents, their friends, or someone else. Some go the way of human traditions and human creeds. It is also surprising and disappointing that many people seem to think it makes no difference what you believe. But they think that the only way, the only thing that matters in religion, is just being honest and sincere. But they only think that way in matters of religion. Even many brethren seem offended if you ask them why they believe and practice certain things, as if they have no obligation to give answer or show reason for their faith. Friend, God does not approve every religion and every message and every practice. For this reason, we are to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith and prove our own selves, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul said, "Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good," 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. John wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." If we are going to show ourselves approved of God, we must study 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, and our study must be the guiding light of what we say and do and practice and believe. This the noble Bereans did, as we read in Acts 17 and verse 11. Jesus warned in Matthew 15:8-9, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." We are to abide in the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. And if our religion is not found in His doctrine, regardless of how well-suited we might think it is, God does not approve of it, and it is not worth recommendation. The day is coming when the Lord will say to some, "I never knew you," Matthew 7:23. Even though he had been religious, even though one was thinking that what they did was in his name, it was not according to his authority, it was not in his name, and the Lord would not have been pleased with what he did in his religion. We must follow the teaching that the Lord has given if we expect him to acknowledge us as belonging to him. Thomas serves as a good example of making sure our beliefs are well-founded in John chapter 20. You know, we sometimes think of Thomas as doubting Thomas because he doubted Christ had risen from the dead, as some had told him. But I think it might be well to consider him as cautious Thomas. Jesus had met with his disciples in verse 20, but for some reason Thomas was not among them at that time. And I think, brethren, what he missed in not being assembled at that particular time with the rest of his brethren. Later he was told, "We have seen the Lord," but he answered, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas was simply insisting on evidence before he believed. He wanted proof. Now, this was not unreasonable, because Jesus had warned in Matthew 7:15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." And again Jesus had warned in Matthew 24:4-5, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many." Later, evidence was provided Thomas, and a subsequent gathering, when Thomas was present, Jesus said unto him, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Then Thomas, seeing the evidence, answered, "My Lord and my God." Now he was sure. The evidence had convinced him. Friend, we need to be sure, like Thomas. In a world of confusion and many conflicting voices, we must make our calling and election sure, 1 Peter 1:10. And we can be sure by the evidence provided by God in His confirmed Word, John 20:30-31. Can you recommend your faith in the light of what the Word teaches? What of the religious name that you wear? Do you find that in the Bible? To what church do you belong? Where do you read about that in the Bible? What of the way that you worship? Do you have authority from the Bible? Is the work that you do done according to His Word and by His authority? What do you believe about eternity and sin and salvation and heaven and hell, morality, the home, marriage, and many other matters? Do you turn to some latter-day revelation, some catechism or church discipline or manual or confessional to determine your faith? Considering all the many so-called authorities that people use in religion, it ought to be evident that God does not approve of such chaos and contradictions. But again, do you recommend your religion by the life that you live? Now this gets very close to us. Does our faith and our life complement each other? By which I mean, do they harmonize? Or do we say we believe one thing, but live as if we believe something quite different? Does your life make your convictions more attractive to others, more appealing, easier to see in you what you believe by what you do? Or does your inconsistency leave one wondering just where you stand and what you believe? After all, we are the only epistle some will ever read, and Paul suggested as much in 2 Corinthians 3:2. And this is unfortunate, but often it is the case. It is as one asks, if you were arrested for being a Christian, is there really enough evidence to convict you? If a man's faith and religion does not affect his life, even change his life, he needs to change his religion. The religion of which Christ is the author changes people from what they are toward what they should be. We are not to be the same kind of person, one in sin, following sinful ways. We are to be a new creature in Christ. The change we must know is not only a change of relationship with God, which takes place upon becoming a Christian when we obey the gospel, but involves that spiritual growing process whereby we become more and more like Jesus. Christianity is a way of living, a life of conviction, not one of mere convenience and conformity to this world. Our lives must adorn the doctrine of Christ our Savior in all things, Titus 2 and verse 10. The fault Jesus mentioned so vividly concerning the Pharisees was that they would say one thing, but do another, Matthew 23 and verse 3. For they say and do not, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit condemns having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. The problem with the Israelites so often in their history was that they were religious, but not righteous. People can perform rituals and forms, even that which is commanded, and their lives and their hearts not be in harmony with God. You have heard it said that you can fool all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Friend, we need to realize we cannot fool God any time, and we shall reap as we sow, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. What we do speaks louder than what we say. One may be heard to say that he does not recommend drinking alcoholic beverages, but when he drinks them, he recommends them. The same thing is true with smoking or any other habitual vice. Philippians 1 and verse 27, only let your conversation, that means your manner of life, be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Matthew 7, 16 through 18, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. James wrote in James chapter 2, verses 14 and 18, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. You show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. The point is that we recommend or we renounce our faith every day. A man's faith is in his heart, but it is shown in what he does. Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A light bulb does not shine so you can see it, but see what is in the room. A Christian shines by his works, not that he might be seen, but that God will be seen. Professing Christ is simply not enough. Titus 1 and verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and every good work reprobate. Now, reprobate does not simply mean wicked and vile like a scoundrel, but worthless and without value. Friend, if we do not recommend our faith by our actions, we become reprobate. James 4 and verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Have you ever heard it said, religion and business do not mix? Or maybe you have heard, religion and politics will not mix, or religion and recreation do not mix. Well, while we must not confuse the faith of Christ as a business or politics or recreation, If the religion is the religion of Christ, it must influence the way a person does in every area of life. The way of Christ makes a person a better neighbor, or student, or worker, or citizen, or parent, or whatever. And Paul recommended his religion by his deeds. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Galatians 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My dear listening friend, a religion that does not govern one's life all the time is not the religion of Jesus Christ. So let us ask ourselves, what kind of recommendation does my day-to-day manner of life provide concerning the faith that I profess? We profess to follow Christ, and therefore we ought to walk even as he walked. Now, there are other ways in which we measure whether or not we recommend our religion. We have studied two ways. Can we recommend it in the light of the Scriptures? Do we recommend it by the way we live? In another lesson, which I hope you'll have opportunity to hear, we're going to ask, do we recommend our religion by the way we support it? And can we and do we recommend it by the way it works for us and all who follow it? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.